Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, quick question. How is your social battery doing right now? I'll be honest, mine is a bit on the low side. Maybe it's not setting enough boundaries or just a typical slowdown after our super hectic work schedule. It's so easy to overlook our social needs or overextend ourselves, isn't it? What's your ideal balance of socializing? And how do you recharge? Whether you find energy in crowds or need more time to yourself, understanding your social needs is crucial. I remember a time when I struggled to balance my social engagement with my personal downtime. Y'all know us, we're always outside. So what really helped me was learning to recognize my limits and prioritizing my well-being. I've heard plenty of my peers champion therapy as a great tool for gaining this kind of insight. It's not just for big life issues. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life by equipping you with the skills to manage your social energy effectively. So if you're considering therapy, why not check out BetterHelp? It's an entirely online service, making it incredibly convenient and adaptable to your lifestyle. Just start with a quick questionnaire and you'll be matched with a licensed therapist. And if you feel the need to switch therapists for any reason, you can do so at any time without any extra cost. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait, don't hesitate, head over there now.
Bitcoin, last week it hit an all-time high when we was on air, I think 68,000. Today it cracked over 72,000.
73.5.
Bitcoin's going crazy. And also, as a result of Bitcoin going crazy, of course, the whole space is going crazy. But Coinbase, you know, for full disclosure, I've been an investor in Coinbase stock for a couple of years now. And bad decision. Well, I actually brought it at a high, and I was down. Coinbase stock dropped drastically. Mm-hmm. And I was down at one point, I was down 40% on my position.
Those days is over.
And I'm positive now. I think I'm positive like 10% now. So I'm back in the green for my Coinbase stock. I still don't have any endorsement of Coinbase because I got robbed on Coinbase.
That's why I didn't invest in them.
But I brought the stock before that happened. But in any event, Coinbase stock is up as a result of Bitcoin reaching all-time high. Bitcoin is up. Other cryptocurrencies is up. So we're going to talk about the whole space. Yeah. We're going to talk about the whole space, but let's start with Coinbase stock. We haven't talked about them in a while. They are currently at what is it, around
267?
Yeah, around 270. That 270 mark-ish. Yeah. Their all-time high, their 52-week high was 271. Mm-hmm. So, okay, Coinbase, a company that showed a lot of promise. It debuted at 342. Still hasn't gotten back to those numbers.
That price is too high. Yeah, yeah.
It debuted at 342 mm-hmm. and then dropped all the way to $33. Legendary. It dropped from $342 to $33.
Yeah.
And Cathie Wood was the one that she brought a lot of at a high. And then but now it's rebounded. It's headed back
climbing.
Up to 300.
It's climbing
to 300. So what's the deal with Coinbase stock?
Let's go look at the gross margins 85%. Net margin 3.24%. Of course, the success of Coinbase heavily tied to Bitcoin and Ethereum, with Bitcoin doing incredibly well. They shot up a lot. Also, Michael Saylor's MicroStrategy shot up a lot. So, like, we're seeing Bitcoin drag up other companies that were not doing well before. I do still think they have some challenges they need to fix if they want to be like that preeminent, vanguard like player in the crypto space for those that may be like laggard investors. But they've had a hell of a run. They opened up at 173 this year, currently at 267.15. Been a great run. Brian's had a bunch of battles that he's overcome. Kudos to him. Still not one of my favorites. It's not in my top 50, but I'm glad you are back in the positive. My God, thank you. But this is a way to invest. Like Coinbase, iBit, they are other ways to GBTC is another way to invest through proxy into Bitcoin. And that GBTC went from 38.05 to 64. So if you want exposure and you don't want to pay 73,000, 72,000 a coin, you can get Coinbase, MicroStrategy, or GBTC and to get exposure to the market that way.
Should I sell my Coinbase now that I'm positive? Or should I ride it up? Can I still get some?
I'll probably lock in profit at like 1% just in case if it crashes. But I will let it ride.
I mean, it's interesting when you look at the climb of Coinbase. It was at 342 when it debuted, and then November of 21, it got back up to 342. So it did pull back after. But I remember I was talking about not investing in companies after they've IPO'd for at least 6 months.
And yeah, absolutely.
So happened in the 7 month they pulled all the way back down. But even on this ascension of Bitcoin up to 72,000, it hasn't been a meteoric rise for Coinbase. It's been a steady rise, right? And so if you're looking at
it's been a steady rise.
It's at an all-time high, but Coinbase hasn't got nearly back to its all-time high. That looks a little concerning to me when we know how reliant this space is on this.
I mean, they've had two positive quarters. Yeah, yeah. But
I wonder. No, I'll just say, I wonder if this, we always talk about ETFs when we're talking about individualized stocks and individualized equities. Is Bitcoin the premier place where we're talking about maybe the ETF route is probably best because of the less exposure? So you mentioned one, but BitB is another one. Is the ETF route probably better for Bitcoin than doing like a brokerage like a Coinbase?
Larry Fink and BlackRock told me to say, yeah. Shout out to everybody who killed me when I said the banks are going to come in and take over Bitcoin. $18.9 billion of Bitcoin under management. Shout out to Larry Fink.
Yeah.
So probably a safer investment. But it would be the same two tech, two index strategy for that. So if you want to do coin and GBTC and pair it with iBit or BitB, or you pick the ones that you want to invest in. But it's the same strategy, and the index component is to prevent massive drawdowns if the stock or underlying asset goes down 60-70%. So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, they got 3% net margin. That's when people are like, hey, how do I know, like, fundamentals? What are they netting? If they're negative, horrible. But if they're between 1 to 9%, it's not a business I want to be in my top five. So I think the math is really simple. I think it's common sense, like Shadi said earlier.
And Bitcoin, I mean, Coinbase is the premier place in America to buy cryptocurrency. So it would make sense as cryptocurrency increases and more people buy cryptocurrency that their strength and their valuation will go up. I mean, it's a direct correlation. So
Apple should have bought Coinbase at that low too, being stupid.
Yeah,
30 stupid. Instead of arguing with Epic Games and even at that $2 billion EU fine, like, it's like, bro.
That's not even
I don't believe the game's over until we're up by 40. Like, they need some exposure to crypto. When that stock went to 40, 50 bucks, they could have put a bid in and bought that.
It's one of these things, right? Where it's like, because I'm just doing a math right now. And Coinbase low of $33 was 2 years ago. It wasn't a long time ago, 2 years ago. And it's at, you know, what, 266 right now?
Yep.
That's a 700% increase. It's one of these things, right? Where you how do you know when is a good time to buy it?
Listen to Market Mondays.
Yeah, for sure. That's important. Cause
hold.
If you would have bought Coinbase then, yeah. I mean,
the stock alone.
Yeah.
Let alone an option or like that'd have been out of this world. Yeah. You're out of here.
And for those in the comments saying that I didn't like Coinbase, I called NVIDIA, AMD, Bitcoin at 28,000, Bitcoin at 20. Come on now. Let's not do this. I'm in a good space. I love y'all. But
well, speaking about Bitcoin, it's at 72,000 now. So
72,500.
Yeah. We have to talk about Bitcoin again. I know we talked about it last week, but let's talk
I
about
love it.
Bitcoin. Keep buying Bitcoin. Dollar cost average.
Same rule as NVIDIA. If you believe in it, still, I don't care what it is. Don't buy the high. Do not buy the high, because if not, in 2 months, you're going to cry. You got to wait for a pullback.
Wait for the pull. Crypto always pulls back.
That's absolutely a guarantee.
Crypto a violent 10 or 15%.
Yeah, it's going to be violent.
Yep. So if it gets maybe to 59,000 or 65,000, if this your first time, you can look there, but a pullback is going to happen for sure.
The pullbacks probably won't be as violent as it gets bigger and bigger because more institutions own it and there's just more volume. So like it won't probably drop 75% like it used to.
No,
but no. Crypto historically, if you follow crypto, you know, one thing is for certain, it always has pullbacks, drastic pullbacks.
Yep.
It has pullbacks. This has happened since the beginning of it. It's one of these things. It's like a hurricane hitting, you know, a region that always gets hit by hurricanes. It's not a matter of when. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. So I know a lot of people are impatient and, you know,
going to get killed being impatient.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have to wait for a pullback, especially if you're going to do a lump sum buying. If you're doing dollar cost averaging, then that's different. But well, lump sum buying, you have to wait for a pullback. But like I said, the good thing is that if history is any indicator of the future, we will have a pullback, a pretty sizable pullback.
Do we think it happens before the halving event? So the halving event is scheduled for April 20th. They're trying to track the chain to see exactly when it happened. So April 20th of 2024, that's this year, 43 days away. Do you think it runs up until the halving and then we see the pullback? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think so. Because I'm looking at the data now, the average monthly pullback of Bitcoin is like 28%. I think it'll run up until then it'll have a pullback. And then of course, more excitement will be into it. More people will start to buy in. So there's always going to be a steep pullback, but I think it'll run up until for sure the halving event.
Yeah, and then that'll start again the 4 year cycle of Bitcoin, which we've talked about plenty of times. This is year four, which we said is, if we look at the 4 year cycles of Bitcoin since its inception, that fourth year is usually the most prominent one in terms of how far it climbs. And so we're in that now. Obviously, we've hit an all time high. It's pretty accurate, right? It's hit its all time high in the fourth year of the cycle, and then we'll start another one. So,
yeah,
good to know.
And for everyone who says we haven't talked about crypto before or Bitcoin, I don't know what rock you just climbed from under, but it's not true. I love you. I appreciate you. Invest in the market, then you won't have to make crazy comments on Twitter and review videos that pay you $43. Text me, I'll give you the $50.
So
shit is crazy, yo.
The $2 CPM play.
So
man,
we talk about Bitcoin a lot, but what's some altcoins? What's five altcoins that people can invest in? And altcoin is an alternative coin, pretty much any cryptocurrency, not Bitcoin.
Not named Bitcoin.
So what is some other alternative cryptocurrencies that people can put on their watch list?
This first time, I want to turn it back to the audience and say, for my crypto experts in the audience, what do you think are five? I don't know. I'm not an altcoin expert, but let me see what my baby Doge doing. Let me see.
I think we start with Ethereum, right? Like number one. If we're obviously,
is Ethereum an alt?
Well, it's anything not Bitcoin, right? And so if we have to start with number one on the list, we can go Ethereum and then we can talk about the rest, right? Because it's been number two for however long. It has most of the coins are built off of its network. But you do have a few others that are trying to combat it. And I'll give a couple after you do. But
well, I think Solana and XRP. Of course, Solana.
Exactly.
XRP.
Yeah. So yeah. Then we got Ada. XRP would probably be in that list as well. Solana. And even, I don't know, we'll see. But Binance Coin. I mean, these are in the top four. They've been there for the past 5 years. From a standpoint of why we said Coinbase is important, would be equally the reason why Binance Coin is important, because Binance is the number one global platform that trades cryptocurrency, including Bitcoin and all these other altcoins. And it's transaction fees that come with trading. So if they have the platform and they're number one, I mean, it's kind of a win-win business for them. So I would put them in there. And then that's like three. I'll throw two wild cards. Solana, you said, which would be a four. And I'll throw like maybe two wild cards. And I've talked about them before, but Avalanche and Polygon.
Gotcha.
To be Matic. I'll throw those two in there. From a market cap standpoint and from a functionality standpoint, Avalanche is kind of like, I wouldn't call it a rival, but they're trying to combat. Like sometimes we talk about when you go out too far, people can actually see the functionality and say, how do we improve? That's what Avalanche has kind of done with Ethereum. And then Polygon is another one, again, built on Ethereum's platform, but it handles scalability and payments. I think those that would be a nice basket of altcoins. And of course, I mean, Doge is still up there, so I'll let you put that on your list here.
Polkadot's
in there. I have Polkadot here too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Shout out JP Morgan Coin cooking.
They got some other ones that are cooking too. When you talk about that's the crypto
the main
mania. It's like you see a coin go up 1,000%. Right, it's less than 2 cents, and you're like, oh, I can put $100 in that, and hopefully it'll grow. Sometimes that doesn't work. Like that's just gambling. Like you have no idea.
Yeah.
Like even when you read a white paper, you have no idea. You just like, let's just throw this money away if we can, and hopefully it makes money. We'll see. Shout out to the Shiba Coin enthusiasts.
Shout out to Shiba.
People, I mean, people made money. We can't knock it. People made money off of Shiba.
No, I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, people made money off of Doge.
So let me ask you this. One of the frequently asked questions amongst people is when to sell an investment. This is something that we just talked about, Mark Zuckerberg and all these guys selling their stocks. So we talk about buying and holding, but at some point you have to sell, at some point. Whether it's you sell a home, you sell Bitcoin, you sell Apple stock, unless you just pass it down to generations and then generations and generations.
Which would be ideal, yeah.
But, all right, the number one question that people have all the time is, we talk about when to buy, look for pullbacks, dollar cost average, don't buy all-time highs.
Yeah, 20% drop, 50% drop.
But when do you sell?
My rule of thumb is 5 or 10 years. If you want to do time-based exits, if you want to do percentage-based, once you get to 500%, you can look to take profit at that point. Or if you've gotten to 1,500%, like most technology stocks over a 10-year period have a potential to hit 1,500%. You have some that are not there. It would be my same rule of thumb for crypto, 500%, 1,500%. Or a 5 or 10 year period. That's the easiest way to know like when to sell or liquidate. For those who like, I don't want to hold that long, I don't know what to tell you. Like even this 4-year run in Bitcoin has been incredible. If you held NVIDIA for 4 or 5 years, the return, like going back to that 4-year cycle with the halving event, like most great investors are looking to hold for 7 years anyway. So hold 5 years, 500%, 1500%. That's when you should exit.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. For stocks, again, that's like a pass down thing. So that's why we want to accumulate them, right? So like we create custodial accounts to pass them down. But in options, it's always percentage for me, especially on the positive side.
Once if
it's anywhere between 50 to 100, depending on what position I'm in, I always like to, I say that all the time, like know where you're going to exit before you enter. So most times I'm looking for 100% return, but sometimes, and I've sent that to my brother G, I'm like, yo, I think this is going to be a 40% return right here. And sometimes it exceeds it. So if I get to 100, I take my initial investment out and then we let the rest go. On a downside, and this is when you got to be super disciplined, is like if you see an investment that is starting to go opposite and go red, 20%, 25%.
That's my threshold.
And it's like, all right, well, let's revisit it. It doesn't mean that the contract was bad or the company was bad, but the timing of when you got it might have been a little bit off. So I definitely in options, I'm doing percentage, but stocks, yeah, I'm long term. I'm 5-10. However long I need to hold the stocks, I'm gonna hold them.
Yeah.
Because I don't treat same as futures, right? It's the same principle. I think people treat their brokerage account like their checking account. And that's like it's a dangerous habit to get into, and it's a bad habit to get into. So if you see money coming into the brokerage account and you're making money on a daily or weekly or monthly basis, it's like, all right, well, that money now I should just keep transferring it. Well, you've made the money, it's your brokerage account. Maybe you should figure out another way to reinvest it in another proposition, another position. Just my rule of thumb. But I see a lot of people doing that. They treat the brokerage account like the checking or savings account, and now they give you a debit card too. So like even some brokerages, you can get a debit card that's attached to your brokerage and you can use that, which again, kind of
mistake.
Kind of defeats the purpose of investing. So
I think you also, well, here's the thing to play the other side of the fence here.
Yes.
Most people probably not going to get 500% rate of return on their investments.
If they listen to us, they will for sure.
Well, just on average, the stock market usually increases lower than that, right? Unless you hit a good stock, but then investing in individual stocks is extremely risky. So I think you get out when the boat starts to sink, and that always doesn't correlate to time. When you start to see the ship going down, you have to get out because you can ride something all the way down to the basement. And I feel like that's the danger with individual stocks. That's why ETFs and index funds are a safer investment than an individual stock. Very rarely will an ETF that is a good ETF or a good index just spiral out of control and never come back, because they have the power to reposition their portfolio. So it's like QQQ, right? Like they have all these top technology companies, but let's say that all these top technology companies fall, and now the new crop of technology companies are OpenAI, Neuralink when they debut, SpaceX, all there's five new top companies in the next 15 years, they can change their portfolio, and now they'll include those companies as opposed to Apple, Microsoft, and Google, who might have been the leaders for the last 10 years. But when you're in, when you're in with one company, let's say Apple, and it's had a historic run, and it goes up and it goes up and it goes up. But let's say hypothetically, I'm not saying that this will happen, but hypothetically, they just start missing. They start missing on everything. They start falling apart. Da, 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 da. If your theory is just to hold it for a long period of time, that's not going to work if the company is falling apart in front of your eyes. So you have to be a lot more hands-on when you're dealing with individual stocks.
20-25%.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, I hear what you're saying, but which is true, but it depends on the entry of when you got into the position, right? So like Apple, if somebody invested in that in, I don't know, let's say the 2007, how many times has it split, right? So like even a pullback of 20%, yes, that's drastic, but you've appreciated by over 1,000%.
Well, that's why it's not a set formula. I think it's an eye test.
Yeah.
You know, if IBM is it's going down.
Child
you gotta know sometimes like this is falling apart, it's over. Should or this is a short term pullback.
Yeah.
It's a buying opportunity for me to buy more.
Yeah. Yes.
So or just sectors change. You might have been invested in the airline industry, it was booming, and airlines is it's not the same
anymore. The wheel fall off here in Houston and crush a car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The door fall off a plane.
Everything doesn't stay. Yeah. Everything, all sectors change over the course of time as far as what everybody now is on AI and chips. That's what everybody's on right now.
Mm-hmm.
10 years from now, who knows? It might be something else. So that's important to keep in mind too. It's like, you know, you gotta be, it's like a gardener. You gotta really pay attention to the crop. And there's no set formula. That's what I think. I don't think there's really a set formula.
If I can offer some pushback, to cut it 20% and 25% is a set formula that keep you safe.
Yeah, yeah. But
percentage wise,
that's your stop loss.
It's like, all right, during COVID, right? Every stock went down 20-30%. You would have sold your whole portfolio,
and then got back in when I told them to.
Then you would have stopped that your losses, but, and then
got back in.
The problem with that. It's hard to buy at the bottoms. There's a reason why most people buy at the tops and not the bottoms. Because the average investor,
it's a lack of discipline,
yeah,
that and just confidence, yeah, a variety of different things. When something drops, you think it's going, you don't know when it's going to stop. You think it's going to keep dropping. That's why most people buy at highs and not at lows. If that was the case, if everybody was that intelligent, every single person would buy at stock market lows.
Yeah, but that's why we're creating intelligent investors, right? So if they have the stop loss at 20%, that stock comes down 20%, it gets cut off, the profits or whatever, it's there. If they're watching it, like you said, being diligent is important. So you can actually watch the ascension again. You can watch that trend going up, right? You're not buying at the high. You're buying it on that climb back up. It might hit the 20% where you sold that and say, all right, well, we're trending again in an appreciation manner. So now I can reinvest. In fact, I might have even more capital than I did before to now reinvest. And so the diligent part is important, but the stop loss is important too, I think.
But there's also
we got to make sure that we encourage that.
There's also a strategy of dollar cost averaging on the downside.
That's
so instead of selling, you can actually be buying more, which actually lowers, depending on where you purchase, that's actually beneficial for your portfolio because it lowers your buying price.
Yeah, with the diligence, I think that's the most important, right? Because people will say, I bought the dip, then I bought the dip, then it dipped again, and it dipped, and it dipped, and it dipped. That's, you got to be super diligent when it comes to that.
Buy the dip,
and then it dips again.
Yeah.
200-day moving average. We talked 72 moving average. Like, go back and watch every episode. the blueprint is there. And also, if everyone on Earth is talking about it, it's too late. Like, when I called NVIDIA on the show, like, been in NVIDIA a few years, no one thought it would be this darling. Like, some things, you like eye test, you have to actually see. Like, when I had my computer built, I told a story before, like, when I would be in a trading room, I would see the move happen 2 seconds before everyone else because of the NVIDIA chip. Like, then, like you said, things are run up. Now it's too hot. It's too late to get in. You got to buy low and sell high. If not, you are choosing to go broke. I deserve to be rich. I deserve to be happy. I deserve to be wealthy. I deserve to be free. You have to believe that. And that's just yours. Yep.
So, all right. Staying within the Bitcoin thing for one last thing. What price would you advise people to get in IBIT?
Great question. Let me look at this. I love it if it gets back down to 2583, going back to being patient. It debuted at 2794. It's on a hell of a run. It's at 41.46 right now. You cannot buy 10 to 15% from the high. So that's where I like it. I'm going to be greedy, I'll wait to the yearly open of 27.94 and buy there. So those are the two prices that I like. So it may run away, but at some point we'll have a pullback. You may have to wait to after halving and you'll be good.
And that's the Bitcoin.
It's an ETF.
It's an ETF.
Yeah, I gave you the other one, BitB, BITB. Similar.
Mm-hmm.
You could look at the chart, look at its ascension, another Bitcoin ETF.
What's the benefit for, 'cause I already know it's going to be pushed back to say, if you don't own the coins, you don't own crypto, it's not, you don't really, you're not owning Bitcoin if you invest in the ETF, but the ETF is also regulated. So you have protection in place as opposed to owning.
Yeah.
So what would be the advantages or disadvantages as far as owning crypto, Bitcoin in an ETF as opposed to the regular way?
Our number one thing is price, because most people don't have $73,000 for one coin.
But you could also buy fractional shares for Bitcoin, though. So that's the good thing with crypto, is that you could put $100 into Bitcoin and own 0.1 whatever that equals.
Yeah.
But when the other part is that when you're buying it, especially, and we know because we've purchased Bitcoin before, the regulation that comes with that, I mean, it could be the Wild Wild West, right? If I use Binance, it can get tricky.
Well, that's the number one thing. It's the security.
Right? Like
to me, that's the biggest thing. Yeah. It's regulated. The stock market is regulated. You're not going to get robbed for your money. That would be the biggest thing as far as a security standpoint. And it's what an institution. It's not just, you know, I would think that would be the number one and probably the only advantage.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You asked the question.
Safety.
Safety first. Yeah, I mean, we've seen too many instances. And even in the early days when we were trying to figure this out, getting a USB and remember your catchphrase. And if you don't have all 17 words, you can't get into your wallet. And should I keep it on or should I have a cold wallet? It's just a lot. For the average person that has no idea, it's just too much of a barrier to get into. So play it safe. You know how to buy an ETF. It's very, very simple. Security and safety first.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.